A humble farmer tends to his crops under the warm Kansas sun. Then the sky begins to go dark and a loud crackling echoes across the prairie. He looks up. That's no storm rolling in. It's trillions of insects, their wings flapping, hungry mandibles chomping, and they're headed right for him. The farmer probably thinks, this is the end of days. But it's not. It's the Rocky Mountain locust. And it's just the beginning of the special 29th episode celebration special.
Yeah!
Special 29th episode celebration. Special 29th episode celebration.
Welcome to the special 29th episode celebration.
It's amazing. I mean, it's a day worth celebrating. 29 episodes. Who would have thought?
I have to just say right now, I couldn't help but notice that you've brought a beverage with you today.
I did. I poured out some whiskey for this thing.
You poured out some whiskey.
Into a glass with ice. We're celebrating.
I can hear the ice.
That's a bit of, just an air of like, you know.
It's great. It's a celebration. I'm glad that you came prepared.
Look, I'm not trying to name drop what I'm drinking because I don't want to be one of those podcasts that are like, oh, we're just a couple of people get together, have some drinks, and talk it over.
There's enough of those.
It's 98% right. Of podcasts.
Yeah. So for this episode, we will be having some special visitors or messages.
Or
from,
will we? surprises around every corner. Right.
You know, we're not going to let you guys down.
Hey, Melissa, some people might be asking, why are you celebrating the 29th episode?
We are celebrating because a couple episodes back, you mentioned we should celebrate one of the episodes. So that's
a milestone.
Ah, yeah, that's what you call it. That's a big one, the 29. I'm excited to see who drops by or who has messages, call-ins, maybe. We'll see. And maybe some other surprises along the way. Maybe not.
Depends how much you feel like editing.
Yes. Do you know that the most downloaded episode is Neanderthals?
And why is that?
Because we're obsessed with ourselves.
Like you and me?
Well,
or mankind?
Mankind. Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
I think there's some gory fascination with us murdering ourselves.
I think people already know the outcome of it. So it's kind of like a, you know, rewatching the, you know, Team USA beat the Russians or something.
Right. We can all be patriotic as a race.
Yeah.
For once.
Yeah.
It's our one human
being. Human beings. Take that, Neanderthals. Maybe we should bring back Neanderthals just for that.
Yeah, it could unify all of us, all races.
Except for those dirty Neanderthals.
Back to the episode, the Rocky Mountain Locust. Have you heard of this locust before?
This specific locust? No. Rocky Mountain Locust. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
I didn't know there was different kinds. I just figured there was locusts.
Well, there was, and I'm going to tell you about it.
Let's do it. Hi there, it's Balthazar from the Pied Raven episode number 27. Just saying, oh, sorry, I just had... I stubbed my toe. I was not about to sing a congratulatory song. Anyways, yes, just calling to leave a voicemail of congratulations to you two goons on 29 episodes. Wow, impressive. Nobody thought you would do this many. Especially with nobody listening and, you know, all the trouble it takes to set it up and research all the stuff and... buy the equipment and troubleshoot the audio issues and pretend like you have, you know, sponsors and and do all pretty much the same voice every time for all the different characters. Just, you really pulled through and made something of it. Congratulations. And I promise I'll start listening soon.
A locust is a type of grasshopper, but unlike your average grasshopper, it can be highly mobile. It can fly far and wide. But most of the time, locusts are solitary creatures that don't do that. Then every few years, there's an outbreak, and they all come together to form a big swarm that just eats everything in sight.
We call that family reunion in Las Vegas.
In Latin, locust means burnt place, which...
Let me feel that. I believe it means burnt place. Because literally, they come through and it's like a wildfire.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just going to say.
Well.
And when these swarms become very big, we call them a plague.
That's cool. I like when animals, you know, come together in a group and they get some cool name assigned to them, like a murder of crows.
Right. So you would say a plague of locusts.
Mm-hmm.
And plagues of locusts have occurred on every inhabited continent, and they continue to do so in many places. In fact, there was some really bad plagues just this year that might even still be going on.
Just to clarify, when you say plagues, you're talking about the locust type of plague.
Yes.
And not anything else that might be in the news or like, I don't know.
I thought we were calling that a pandemic.
I don't know. When is it a pandemic and when is it a plague? It's only been 7 months.
Jeez.
You think maybe we could have looked this up at some point?
Let's look it up later. So we looked it up. What's the difference between a plague and a pandemic?
Yeah.
A plague is an unusually large number of things that are unpleasant to people. So a plague, it's usually talking about an animal or an insect. And a pandemic is an epidemic that spreads across countries and continents. And an epidemic is a disease. So
it was like when I think of like the Black Plague or something.
But that was called plague. It's a little tricky. A plague of locusts is just like a term versus the plague was
a name for that disease.
Yeah. And that would have fallen in to an epidemic, pandemic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I get it.
It's confusing.
It is.
But now we know.
Sort of.
Okay. Plagues of locusts do still happen. It's still a problem, just not for us.
Oh, we took care of that problem.
Well, I'm not going to do an extinction event of a locust and then be like, well...
It's still around. I don't. It seems like you kind of do that.
I try and do that. I do that like every episode. Okay. Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
So North America had one species of locust, the Rocky Mountain locust, and that's what we're talking about today. Humans have been plagued by locusts for thousands of years, probably even more. Generally, they are seen as the work of the devil. Or the work of a god. It's a toss up there.
Somebody's put in the work.
In the case of a god, it would be punishment. You were doing something right. You've angered them in some way. And I guess for a devil,
it's a reward. He's like, you are doing things the right way. Here's a nice plague.
Yes. Over the years, humans have attempted to combat locusts in many different ways. In Austria in 1338, for instance, there was a swarm of locusts that actually was put on trial in a court of law.
Order, order, order!
The locusts were given legal counsel because they couldn't represent themselves. There's a language barrier there. I don't really know how it turned out, but I'm pretty sure the locusts lost.
You know what? But that year, the courts were just stacked
against
anti-locust types. They never had a chance going in.
All right. Well, that was one of the crazier ways that I discovered that they dealt with locusts. Usually they just try to pray or sacrifice something.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're mainly talking about just one plague of locusts that occurred in the western half of America from 1847 to 1877. This plague reached historically gigantic proportions, one of the largest of all time. And we used a variety of methods to combat that plague. But before we get into the specifics of the battle, how did the Rocky Mountain locust amass these vast troops, you ask?
I didn't, but now you piqued my interest.
Well, good, because I'm about to tell you. We already know that normally locusts don't live in big swarms. They live on their own, eating up food in a small area. But if there's a drought and resources become limited, a switch gets turned on in the locust's endocrine system. And the following generation is born with a desire to come together in a big group.
That rules.
Right. Something changes in them. And
look, they all had summer camp. They're like, guys, we made some lifelong friends here. Let's promise to get together next year. And they do.
Yeah.
And then they pass it on to their kids. And it's just, they just got to get together. And hang.
I love that. And so this group just keeps growing and growing. And so what you can take away from this is that if you have a fruitful period followed by drought, that's going to trigger an outbreak.
Mm.
That's that cycle. And I'm not going to get too in depth with the outbreak cycle. Just know that the Rocky Mountain locusts, they leave their home in the Rocky Mountains in this big swarm. The swarm eats their way through the surrounding areas, laying eggs on the way. Those eggs hatch, and the process repeats itself over a period of 3 to 5 years.
Mm.
Each time, the swarm gains more ground, pushing further.
Bigger and bigger. It's like growing out, yeah.
And with each generation, some of the nymphs, those are the like little first stage babies, they head back to their home in the Rocky Mountains. Some of them do, not all of them. Those ones that head back, they hunker down and wait for the next outbreak cycle. And that cycle happened on average every 6.5 years. So it comes and goes. It's a natural cycle. It's been happening for a very long time.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about it right now. I want to just like think about the whole cycle.
Right. And
the efficiency of it. And
also, the winds, they're like really strong winds that happened that if everything's just right, it'll pull different swarms together into one really big swarm.
That's crazy.
Right. Yeah. I can suggest some literature if you're interested.
Are we a plague?
We are a plague.
Are the locusts like the supreme beings for this planet? Because that sounds so cool and coordinated and like way smarter than anything we've done as people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but the difference between us is that when the locusts die, their bodies give back to the the ecosystem.
Yeah. I've seen the beginning, or I've seen Lion King, where Mufasa explains this whole, there's a whole song about it. I got it.
Okay.
Ha ha ha!
Yeah, what's up? Yeah. It's the Tarpan Bachelor Herd.
Hey.
Congrats, Extinction Event 29, bros.
Yeah.
Whoa, I'm so impressed.
That's cool. I mean, it doesn't sound fun, really. I mean, I'd rather just be messing around with the dudes.
Well, whatever. Yeah, I mean, we're the Tarpan Bachelor Herd, famous for, you know, just being a bunch of male horses in a big old crowd. So
yeah,
that's kind of how we roll.
Yeah, but yeah, it doesn't mean I can't like other stuff. It's just I choose not to. So
sorry about not listening to the episode 2, guys, the one that starred us. It was just that I had a lot of other ones lined up. And yours is kind of like more about science nerdy stuff.
Yeah. And, we're more into the dudes and brews.
Yeah.
But.
And my headphones are out of batteries.
Always.
But totally going to try and give it a listen soon.
Yeah, eventually. We will. You know, in between horsing around.
With the ladies.
Hey. All right. Speaking of, wouldn't mind checking out what the lady herd is up to.
Let's do it.
Let's go. So the locusts are busy amassing their troops in the Rocky Mountains, getting ready to unleash this outbreak. Meanwhile, down on the Oregon Trail, hopeful pioneers are heading out west.
And hopeful second graders are grabbing their Cheetos and heading to the computer lab.
They let you in the computer lab with Cheetos?
No.
That doesn't...
You gotta put those in your cargo shorts, baby.
I was just gonna say, anybody who has played the Oregon Trail knows that that was a hard trip for a pioneer. Lots of...
Dysentery.
Yeah, dysentery.
And the hard part, Melissa, is carry and pack all those hundreds of pounds of animals that you shot.
Was there a limit to how many?
How many you could kill? Yeah. No. Just like real America. All right? Now, right. My strategy was to buy as many bullets as you can, kill all the animals, carry as much as you can. Yeah, you can't carry that much back. It wasn't a good strategy.
Did you ever get all the way through the game?
I'm sure I must have at least once, but...
Right. I always had a problem killing a lot of buffalo or deer or whatever. Obviously, that...
You were trying to go vegetarian across the Oregon Trail?
I just was only killing what I needed. I didn't want to...
You were like, hey, guys, I brought back this squirrel.
Yeah, that's right.
To share with all 9 of us. And then 2 people immediately died.
I remember losing a lot of oxen, and who knows how many people would die of disease. This did happen for real pioneers. It was a hard life, and it was a hard game to beat.
And it was literally the only thing I remember from elementary school. So it was an educational experience. I remember being in like either kindergarten or first grade and the principal telling the parents that Nintendo was good for kids like brains, like
hand-eye
reflexes and high end eye. And I just remember as a kid being like, whoa, principal said this? Whoa. I carry it with me to this day, so if you want to be a cool principal, endorse video games. Helpful tip for you.
Interesting. I'll think about that.
To all the principals listening, helpful tip for you.
Okay. So it was hard, but it was worth it because these pioneers had been offered free land, which just blows my mind. If you were 21 years old and the head of a household, you qualified for 160 acres of federal land for free. In the 1870s, around 2 million people move out west to get in on this deal. Not long after many of them arrived, the locusts would mobilize their troops.
Perfect timing.
Is it recording? I can't tell. I'm just gonna go then. Hey guys, it's Celia from Pyrenee and Ibex episode. I'll be honest here, I haven't listened to any of the episodes. So, you know, keep it up. I guess. If you're into it, if you like it, you know, keep doing it. Probably not a lot of people listen. And, you know, that's gotta be hard on you because you spent all this time and nobody was listening. And it's like, okay, we're at 29 now. So imagine you were a pioneer that had just spent months, like 4 to 8 months, in a wagon on the Oregon Trail, hoping for a fresh start. You get there, things are going okay, you have a little farm going, things are looking up.
Dysentery hasn't caught up to you yet. Half your party's gone, yeah, but you're alive.
You lost some people, but things are turning around. But the Rocky Mountain locust doesn't care about your farm. They've been plaguing the area for hundreds, probably thousands of years before you showed up. They're not going to call it quits just because you rolled in on a little wagon for some free land. So they do what they do, and they come down from the mountains, riding the winds, in this great big swarm headed right towards your farm.
You say that so casually. Oh, just riding the winds. Like there's some type of charioted god.
From a distance, it would have looked like a storm front was rolling in.
Ah, I remember. This is a little bit of a callback from the intro.
Right. Blocking out the sun, as the insects got closer, the pulsating wings of millions of insects sounded like a roaring fire. And when the swarm finally hit, the air would be so dense with locusts that you couldn't see a couple of feet in front of you. They would be clinging to your clothes and your hair.
Eating you alive.
They would eat the clothes off your back, yes.
Really?
Yeah. Because it had sweat. They would eat the acid and amino acids from the sweat in your clothes.
And you pretty much just always wearing sweat-covered clothes back then.
Yeah.
Whew, sucks, man.
Every corn stalk.
Show up somewhere, you're like, sorry, my shirt got ate off. Got a little sweaty all the way here. And my pants, too.
They had
I wasn't wearing underwear, so.
Well, yeah, that's a luxury.
That's explaining why I'm stark naked right now.
They had a looser, no shoes, no shirt, no service policy back then. Every corn stalk, plant, tree, chairs, fences, rake, everything.
Not the rake.
Everything was
some pioneer. Ah, my rake!
He just come out from the East Coast.
That was my granddad's rake.
Okay. Everything.
Not the family rake.
Everything is covered in hungry, munching locusts. They'd eat curtains, garden tools, dead animals. They'd eat other locusts. They'd eat the clothes off your back. They ate everything. The sound of their chewing drove people insane.
How offended would you be if you like spent all day making some dinner and the locust just like passed it over?
I would be pretty offended.
On top of everything.
Yeah, you're naked.
Yeah.
Okay, and then they just fly off, leaving your farm in shambles and your dinner untouched. But that's not all they left. They left a bunch of dead locusts that smelled pretty bad.
Hmm. Probably fertilize the ground.
Right. But just to give you an idea of that smell,
Wait, why are all these locusts dying? It's just like, time's up? Got old? Ate too much? Had too much sex?
Well, it depends on, I think, what stage of the outbreak they're in. But there could be dead locusts from farmers fighting them off, or they could just be reaching the end of their natural life cycle for whatever reason. I don't know exactly. I could.
But just because of the sheer numbers, there's going to be a lot of dead.
Right.
Just naturally.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So just to give you an idea of that smell, there's an account from 380 about a plague of locusts that drowned off the coast of Africa that reportedly left a stench so bad it was said to have smelled worse than that produced by the carcasses of 100,000 men.
Whoa. And I bet that that comparison only works in 300 AD. Because you try that now, and they're like, you know that smell of 100,000 carcasses?
Yeah, I do not know that smell, I can honestly say.
Back in 380 AD, you're like, oh, yeah, I know that one.
Why? I don't know. I guess that would just be a battleground. That's a lot of carcasses.
Yeah, I did, but the fact that they all drowned is very interesting, too, because I bet there's a lot of, like, sea life that kind of maybe depends on it, especially if they're riding the same winds. You know, it might be like, hey, locust carcasses drift down to the bottom, and I bet you at the bottom of the ocean there's some, like, family reunion Vegas buffet going on.
Yeah, I think the carcasses do good.
Done where, good.
They done good wherever they
you
lie.
Done good.
Okay. In addition to that smell, they also laid a bunch of eggs in the dirt.
Don't they all?
And if you're a pioneer, you're pissed. That farm you got for free is destroyed. Or at least, you know, that year's crops.
Good luck raking up all the carcasses.
At first, I thought maybe these stories were exaggerated, you know, these whining pioneers with their free land. But I guess it didn't. Look, I'm always going to be on the side of whatever we extincted. I think we've known this.
Yeah, that's part of your thing.
But I guess it did get pretty bad. This plague lasts 4 years, with the swarms coming and going throughout their various reproductive phases. But there was this one really bad swarm in 1875, and that swarm is estimated to have been around 12 trillion locusts strong. Trillion, with a T.
Whoa.
It would have covered an area bigger than California.
What?
Yeah, and right now, until we find other evidence, this was the biggest swarm that ever existed. I mean,
how are they going to find evidence?
In it's just like layers of stuff, ice sheets, or
okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it was just the perfect storm came together: the winds, the drought, everything, and. This was just
all
the
grasshoppers were extra horny and just laid a ton of eggs.
Yeah. So it seemed like it got pretty bad. Some of the pioneers were almost starving. And at this point, they're getting pretty peeved at these locusts.
To say the least, if I'm a pioneer, I'm pretty PO'd. You know, I wish these locusts just get their hineys back to where they came from. Because I'm starting to get steamed. Hey, Jack and Melissa. Wow, geez, 29 episodes. This is me, number 2. Love the Last Caribbean Monk Seals from episode number 21, baby.
Number 1 is here, too.
Yeah, here we are. Wow, so. Just wanted to drop in from the afterlife.
Because we're dead now.
Yeah, but you know that.
Yeah, time on Earth was pretty short, just like your podcast probably.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
enjoy
it
while it lasts.
Indeed,
the cold embrace of a grave will soon envelop us all.
29, however many you could do, really. It's...
That's number one, always coming in with a nice optimistic observation. Well, I'm all doom and gloom. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Us two, last two Caribbean monk seals in existence, stuck in a zoo together.
Well, that's the kind of relationship we have, you know. I bring us up, you bring us down, and then we are sort of neutral.
And we get off topic while we're leaving this message as a congratulatory message for a nice 29th anniversary show.
Well,
did I say
me?
Anniversary? It's a special.
Jeez. Well, you're always getting things messed up.
I do. This is us, so us.
Well, I would say that's why you're number two and not number one.
Are we still recording?
Yeah, well, whatever. But you know what?
Congratulations.
I guess. Sure. Well, just one more thing, number two. You know, I was wondering, you know how I passed away before you and you had the tank to yourself?
Best 2 years of my life.
Did you see the present I left you in the pool?
Oh, yeah, that was a hilarious joke.
Yeah?
Here I go thinking, oh, good, number one left me a nice Snickers bar. My favorite confection.
Oh, you didn't get my Snickers bar? I didn't.
No, I found it.
Okay. Because I know you like your sweets in those last few years.
Why don't you come over here? I'll show you a thing or two.
That's okay. I'm going to go back to this pipe, my own pipe over here in the afterlife that I got.
You're still stuck in it. In a small aquarium in the afterlife?
No, it's bigger. It's got two pipes. So,
Ah, jeez. We gotta talk to your manager.
All right. Well, I gotta get back to, So, the pioneers tried to fight back. Some people prayed. Some people clanged pots at the insects.
You gotta be big mad to do that.
Yeah.
Run outside and clang pots and pans. Think about that. That's like someone's peeing on your car. You'd be pissed.
Yeah.
Get out of here!
Some people used dynamite or fired guns into the swarms.
So, yeah, probably more cathartic than anything.
Yeah. Many methods were used. I'm not going to mention them all, but there were some elaborate machines that got invented just specially for this. There were ones called the Drum, Hansberry, Hoos, and Simpson Locust Crushers.
Wait, can you say it again?
It's the Drum, Hansberry, Who's and Simpson Locust Crushers.
Is that one company?
No, that was four different companies.
Ugh, could you imagine if it was one company? Four best friends getting together. Probably spent more time arguing over the order of the names than actually making this thing. What are these locust crushers?
Well, they were horse-drawn devices that used big rollers to squish.
That seems them. Ineffective.
It wasn't very effective. But,
wow. I guess you're desperate times,
good.
You know?
Yeah.
People are like, I'll take it, man.
There was also something called the Robin's Hopper Dozer. You get like grasshopper dozer.
I got it.
Yeah. That was a flat pan that was filled with kerosene or coal tar that you would drag through your field.
Mm-hmm.
There was a horse-drawn flamethrower.
Tell me more.
I guess you just implement that after the fact. Because what, are you going to burn down your farm?
Maybe you're just like... You got to pull it out right when they get there, when it's like a big river of before they're landing, and you're just like, throwing those flames, hoping the horse doesn't get hit.
Yeah. So they're inventing these machines. They're firing, lighting sticks of dynamite and throwing it into the air.
That's how I play Red Dead Redemption, by the way.
Is there a dynamite stick? They have it in that? I don't remember.
Until you've tossed a stick of dynamite at a herd of buffalo on horseback. Like if you really lived.
How many digital buffalo have you murdered in your lifetime?
I kind of got it. I understood a bit after I played that game. You see that big old herd of buffalo, and you're like, I got to do something. A stick of dynamite. It just felt truly American.
I think that's...
Spook a herd of buffalo, throw a stick of dynamite. I kind of get it, though.
It's terrible, blowing up a buffalo.
It's a video game.
Well, yeah, in a video... I get it. I get it.
I didn't really do this, Melissa. Okay?
But some pixels
moved around on a screen. Nothing happened.
But doesn't it say about you, maybe you would do that?
Yeah, it says, maybe I would do that in a video game.
But maybe in real life?
What are you talking about?
If you were a pioneer.
I guess yes, okay? It piqued my interest. It felt pretty good. So if I was a pioneer, would I feel pretty good about it? So far, sources are indicating yes.
Let me ask you, you're a pioneer on a farm. This 1875 swarm of locusts, the biggest on record, it's coming to your farm. How are you fighting back beyond just clinging pots and pans and firing dynamite into the locusts?
I think I'm going, you know the movie Mars Attacks?
Mm-hmm.
How the boxer just goes out there and he starts punching his way.
Wow. Okay.
I'm doing that, I think. I'm taping up my hands. Yeah. And I'm taking them on, giving them the right and the right and the hook. It's about as useful as anything else you could do. So
right.
That would last about 15 seconds, by the way, until I'm exhausted. And then I'm reaching for the dynamite.
Okay.
What about you? What are you doing? Maybe. I'm imagining you're zipping yourself up in a bag that immediately gets eaten.
I'm thinking you're saying maybe they don't eat your dinner. That you left out. Maybe I'm creating a perimeter of food.
Horrible food.
Horrible food, yeah. You know, cookies and I forgot to put the sugar in.
Mm.
Or mistook sugar for salts or something like that.
Yeah.
And they just turn up their noses at it and they move to the next farm.
So. And you're still feeling pretty rejected.
Rejected, but also I'm like, I didn't have to kill any grass. Or any locusts.
There you go. You get to fulfill your Oregon Trail pledge.
Right.
Look at this. See, I throw the dynamite in the video game, and I'm like ready to kill them all. You refuse to kill in the Oregon Trail, and you're finding all these pacifist ways to...
Well, it's just the one way so far, but yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Video games. The window to... something.
Never forget what your principal said.
Ah, it's full circle.
Yeah.
He was right.
Yeah, that's some pretty crazy stuff. There was lots of crazy inventions. Those were just a couple. Some less mechanical techniques used were to put chickens and turkeys into your garden so they'd just eat the insects. Also,
it's like the smartest one I've heard so far.
Right. Also, they would set cattle and pigs set them loose into the fields where they would just stomp on buried eggs.
Wow, 29 episodes. This is the Atlas Bear actor from episode 24, perhaps the greatest episode, in this bear's opinion, of Extinction Event there ever was. I just wanted to say congratulations, and it reminds me of when I won an esteemed award and came back and my dressing room and the champagne wasn't quite cold enough, and I... smashed it over someone's head, and the smell of blood threw me in a rage. And, well, the review in the morning's paper said it was life-changing. And I've got to hand it to them. When they get it right, they get it right. Anyways, I digress. Yes, your extinct pod is well done, I guess. Not that it's well. I'm saying well done as in good work. Not that you actually do it well. But please don't mistake those two things. And you know what? You just keep going. I'm drab. Hold on. Whiskey. Can you bring me another? No, swizzle it this time. With the lime. You forgot the lime. Thank you. Here was I, yes. Yes, go back and give the Atlas Bear episode a listen if you could. It would really help me boost my numbers and get me on the IMDb page. Thank you.
So the locusts are getting smushed, eaten, suffocated, lit on fire, you name it. The bodies are piling up. But there are trillions of these insects, and these machines and other tactics aren't even making a dent in the swarms. The locusts are doing fine. Meanwhile, not only are the farmers close to starving to death, but now they're threatening to abandon the free land that they got.
Question. They were definitely eating these locusts, right?
Some were.
Because I know in like Seattle at their ballpark for baseball, you can eat grasshoppers.
Oh.
Yeah.
You gotta think they were eating some.
I think you gotta like put enough salt on them, they'd be fine.
Yeah, enough salt. Anything's good. So they're threatening to leave. And the government doesn't want them to move. You know, they had offered this free land because they were trying to colonize more of the country.
They're like, go out and make it livable. Make some farmland so we can have some more food and our country can grow.
That's not really that simple. It's a little more complicated. It had to do with the railroads. It just had to do with growing the country.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of, yeah. So they don't want them to move. And they implement a bounty system.
Bring me the heads of 1,000 locusts.
Yes, they implement this system to...
How many locust hides do they need to present?
I think it would be by the bushel. And the state would give you $5. One state would give you $5 per bushel of locust eggs. That's a lot of eggs.
Whoa.
And I do think there was also just locust bodies. But the whole bounty system wasn't so much to get rid of them as it was to provide the farmers with a means to get some money to offset what was happening.
Socialism, you mean?
But the good old bounty system. It usually works for us.
It's one of the, fail-safe methods of extincting an animal.
Not this time.
Hey, it's the Irish Elk Hounds from episode 28.
Irish elk that we're apparently hunting, I guess.
Still hunting them.
Still haven't seen one. Sorry, a lot of dogs still. It's hard to... Can you hear us? I don't even know.
You're coming in and out.
Yeah.
Sorry, we do a conference call for this message.
Anyway, that's great. That's great. What you
wow.
Guys, yeah. Congratulations.
Congrats on having all the free time to do that.
It must be nice. I don't know how the craft services are at your recording studio. Yeah, well, here we don't get a lot of food. Like you guys know, we have resorted to eating other dogs. But like,
it's not that bad, actually. I don't know why cannibalism gets such a bad rep.
Yeah, honestly, to me, they don't...
Meats is meats.
Yeah. I don't really see them as dogs anymore. They're just...
Oh, yeah, guys, I just wanted to say congrats on finding 29 animals that went extinct out of the millions and millions.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. It must be tough. Just like finding this Irish elk. So anyway, and I'm going to get trampled to death under these dogs, so I got to cut this short, but...
Well, the other one thing I would... Just before we go, I wanted to also congratulate anybody who's ever listened to more than one episode.
Yeah.
Because you're the real ones. You're the real heroes.
You
are. Because I feel like, you know, you could set a trap and get someone to listen for one,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, fool me once. Shame on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all those people who both listen to multiple episodes, you're the real heroes.
All right. I gotta get out of here.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So it turns out humans kind of suck at fighting these locusts, but we are making some progress. Probably the most successful artillery were birds. Birds would eat them, but by now we humans were already killing so many birds that legislation had to be passed to protect the birds from us so that the birds could kill the locusts.
I see.
Yeah. Also, we figured out that flooding the fields with water effectively drowned the locust eggs. Also, plowing a field that was full of eggs would expose them to the elements, leaving them for dead as well. So some things were working. And on a positive note, after the swarms left in subsequent farming seasons, the crops did really well. The locust had eaten all the weeds, and their poop and dead bodies enriched the soil.
There you go. It's kind of necessary. It's like a wildfire. It comes through.
It is. So we're learning how to combat the enemy. Will it be enough? It's not looking good for the pioneers. What an interesting turn of events for Extinction Event, huh?
Yeah. At this point, they're like, episode's over. We know what's happening. They're well on their way to being extinct.
Yeah. Usually the bounty system is doing its magic.
At this point, if you're a betting man, you'd be like, I think pioneers are going away before these locusts.
This seems like our greatest foe so far. And it's an insect. It's not looking good for the humans. But then, the Rocky Mountain locust just disappears.
What? Did they invent a new gun or something?
This is a crazy story. I've never heard anything like this. They fizzle out by the end of the 1800s, but the last swarm ever seen was in 1902, and after that, nothing. They never come back. What the heck happened?
Maybe they're just really dormant.
You think they're still sleeping?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Waiting for the big enchilada. They're going all in.
I don't know. I was like, had cows stomped them into extinction by accident? had our allies, the birds, just secretly taken care of this for us?
Wait, when are we allies with birds?
When we said, we're going to not shoot as many of you so you could...
Yeah, I don't think birds think we're allies, but...
For a while, no one really cared to find out what happened. People, pioneers, just forget about it. They just, you know, it was a big deal for a while. They were really pissed off. And then...
You think that, like, that Drum Simpson handle, whatever that they took...
The Simpson Locust Crusher?
Yeah. You think the Locust Crusher crew just took a huge victory lap after that?
Probably, they probably did take credit for it. Yeah.
Like, well, now we're out of business. Melissa, you know, it's not just a two-man show here at Extinction Event.
No, it's definitely not
it's
just
actually
the two
a
of us.
Huge production. We've got our sound engineer, Corey, producer, Lil Mikey, our content manager, Shireen, and don't forget little intern, don't forget the intern, Joey, that guy.
Yeah.
what a card. Anyway.
He's keeping us new, or keeping us relevant.
Oh my gosh, he's Gen Zers. Anyway.
yeah, definitely we have a
we
team.
All pulled together to surprise you.
Oh, you did.
Melissa, for the special 29th episode, little something.
Oh, please, elaborate.
We got you a wolf.
A wolf?
Yes, from the Wild Spirit Wolf Sanctuary, whose mission is to rescue, displace, and unwanted wild canids, especially as a direct result of the exotic pet trade.
Wow, that's so cool. It's definitely not an organization that I'm familiar with and told
would you let me?
Okay.
Let me tell you a bit more about the sanctuary's goal to provide each rescue with a safe sanctuary and lifelong care.
Okay. This place.
Uh-huh.
It is a wolf sanctuary in New Mexico. They deal, I think, primarily with, you know, wolf-dog hybrids who
they
don't
focus
have a home.
Especially on wolf dogs.
Yes. Okay. This place is very cool. They have a lot of animals and they give them a home. And you can adopt sponsor one of their wolves there. And it looks like the one that you guys sponsored for me was Naya.
Correct.
Who is a high-content wolf dog. She's 1 year old, and her birthday is May 13th, 2019. She's just a pup.
Just a pup.
Yeah.
Just a little treat for you.
Thank you so much. I definitely didn't know about this beforehand. Also, did you know that this is the same sanctuary that George R.R. Martin is involved with?
Of course I knew that.
Yeah, he lives
Suzanne,
in...
Suzanne, why don't you tell me that? You're the freaking content manager.
He lives in New Mexico. He
I'm
supports
sorry, Melissa.
Them. What?
Suzanne messed up here, and we need to... I just need to talk to her for a second. Oh, okay. Because she was supposed to tell me that, and she didn't. Suzanne, you're fired.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Let's get back to it.
Okay.
Pack your shit. Get out. I'm sorry, Melissa. I just had to take care of something.
Anyway, this is great.
I hate to do it on the 29th.
I know.
But we got to this point because I don't put up with anything like that. I don't care if it's her birthday.
Okay, this is great. This is so exciting. If you guys are listening and you'd also like to support the Wolf Sanctuary, you can go to wildspiritwolfsanctuary.org and you can sponsor a wolf there. What a sweet thing to celebrate with. What a little splurge for the show. And I couldn't be more thrilled. Thank you, guys, everyone.
You're welcome. Bye.
Over the years, there were a lot of theories about what happened, but we'll just skip to the one that's currently accepted. It's called the Rocky Mountain Locust because the Rocky Mountains were its home base. After each breeding cycle, a portion of the swarm would return to what they called their permanent zone in the Rocky Mountains and lay their eggs there. And the locusts from those eggs would stay in the Rocky Mountains living solitary lives until the next big swarm starts forming in another few years.
You didn't tell me it was called the permanent zone.
That's what they call it, yeah. The permanent zone.
Because I'll tell you about these last 7 months, that's been the couch for me.
The couch?
Yeah.
It's been the kitchen for me.
Oh.
Okay, so that's happening in the Rocky Mountains. Now, we already know the pioneers were moving out west for free land, but Some of them were also coming to mine the mountains for precious metals. So a lot of the pioneers move up there. And with these miners also come shopkeepers, tavern owners, shippers, and of course...
prostitutes.
Yes. But also farmers to feed all these people who are moving up there. So there were farms in the Rocky Mountains, and records suggest that these croplands were laid directly on top of the Rocky Mountain locusts' permanent zone, this sanctuary where they retreated between the outbreaks.
Whoa.
Yeah, and records also suggest that this zone could have been quite small. It wouldn't have taken a lot of space to lead to a... trillions of insects, which is, seems crazy, but
so if we're this is like a sci-fi movie, we found the queen's lair, right?
Yeah,
and all you got to do is wipe that out, and all the other ones will, you know, just as they're about to kill the hero, just collapse on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
All it could have taken was a few well-placed farms that regularly flooded their croplands, which they regularly did, and this could have killed all of the eggs by drowning. Basically, the farmers in the Rocky Mountains inadvertently exterminated an entire species by flooding their permanent breeding site. So all those horse-drawn flamethrowers down in the plains, the Simpson locust crushers, they didn't do anything and they were never going to do anything. But a couple of farmers up in the Rockies accidentally extincted an entire species while they were sleeping. We didn't even know we did it. It's totally unintentional. It's crazy.
That's cool. It's a good story.
I know.
You're like facing this huge unbeatable foe and then you just stumble into a win. Great.
Yeah.
America.
It is really wild. I didn't know anything about locusts really before this, and just to think that they have this this sanctuary up there. Yeah, and we were just whoops. Just bizarre. And I know it's hard to kind of feel bad about the extinction of locusts, but this idea of them being a living fire and burning the landscape is actually a process that was very beneficial to our ecosystem. And now that they're gone, we're not really sure what long-term effects or what the consequences were of that. And it definitely altered it. Well, that's the Rocky Mountain locust. Did it live up to you? You're strict.
Melissa, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that was the best extinction story you've ever given.
Wow.
There were twists and turns and horse-drawn fire flamethrowers and people eating bugs and locust crushers and socialism and free farms. Had everything.
Yeah. Well,
you picked a good one for the 29th.
Yeah, what a great story to have for our special 29th episode celebration. How was your drink? Was it?
It was good. I feel loose.
Loose?
Uh-huh.
Well, time for you to go back to your permanent zone, though.
Feel loose, ready to get back to my permanent zone.
All right. Well, tune in next time for the 30th episode. No big deal.
Boring, yeah. Old 30.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Peg Leg Deer production.